still should flush and wipe. I don't care if you are getting drafted.
Oh.
Cool story, bro. Oh,
maybe. Maybe.
That's funny.
Yeah, I was like, hey, man, you're supposed to keep that person.
Yeah, that's a little TMI. Welcome back. 919 on 104.5 The Zone. Those draft story things have been really cool. I know Rhett Bryan has worked hard on those with Titans Radio. Let's talk some sports media from Awful Announcing. Ken Fang is on the line with us. Ken, how you doing this morning?
Hey, good morning to you guys.
Let's talk first about, I want to talk some college basketball and how ESPN is covering this season. How do you see their coverage of college basketball's biggest stars like Zion Williamson and John Moran and some others, and how that sort of goes along with that network's NBA coverage leading into the draft and into the NBA as those players make that transition?
Well, that's one of the things that ESPN, like, I think ESPN covers college basketball quite well. And, you know, they're going from the college ranks and then transitioning over to the NBA. So, as you mentioned, focusing on the stars, as the bigger stars like Zion Williamson. But, you know, it's interesting, though. It was going back to the days when they were trying to overcover people like Tim Tebow, when it got to be a little bit too much oversaturation.
Yeah.
I think they won a little bit from that. So, but especially now with Zion's injury, it's going to be interesting to see whether they dial that back or how much they continue to cover that issue. And will they do a little journalism and will they think, well, okay, now, well, should the college players be paid? Or now that he's injured, will they do that, start to go on that angle? So it's going to be interesting to see how the coverage starts to transition in that way, if they do it at all.
Were you surprised, though, at the amount of coverage that got? I know it was the big story yesterday, but, I mean, it was pretty much wall-to-wall on ESPN for a while there.
It was, and it went a little bit crazy. I'm not going to lie to you about that. It was interesting, especially, you know, everyone's talking about the blown up sneaker, and, you know, even at President Obama's reaction in slow motion. I think they had it from seven different angles. So, you know, it got to be a little bit, as we mentioned, oversaturation, because it's ESPN. It's a 24-hour network. It needs content, especially during the daytime. So, and it needs to fill out those shows like Get Up and also their debate shows. So, yeah, absolutely. It got to be a little bit too much. But at the same time, I'd just like to see some more discussion over whether college players should be paid or not. I mean, whether you fall on whatever side you fall on that one, at least the discussion should be there. Because, you know, we don't know whether Zion's going to have his, whether it's going to, how much it's going to affect his pro career down the line.
Ken, one more for me before I pass it off. Baseball season's getting underway. What do you think the sweet spot is for TV coverage using advanced stats? Well, you know, keeping viewers around that don't really understand all that stuff fully.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's got to be to the point where you want to attract those fans, especially using analytics and advanced stats. You're seeing that transition a little bit now with Fox and ESPN. But also there are fans who just like thinking, like, why do I need to know all this stuff? Just give me the home runs, RBIs, and just give me the basics. Yeah, that's the whole thing, because you're also trying to attract new fans, because especially with baseball, the older demographics are the one that's dominating that, especially younger viewers aren't especially attracted to it. So the networks are trying to find new ways to get those kids and they get the younger demographics interested in it. Is it going to be the advanced stats? Who knows? It's got to be a way that hooks them in a way that gets them to be interested. It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to be able to put that in at the same time while also keeping the older fans interested as well.
From awfulannouncing.com, our guest is Ken Fang.
Yes, Ken, I was going to go the route of Charles Barkley, who's hilarious, by the way, anyway. But, man, when he made the comment about the Empire actor on air, it seems like they tried to cut him short, man. He was definitely going to get it in, and even when they came back. So what were your thoughts on how does that work? Or is somebody in his ear saying, hey, we need to cut, or we want you to stop, or... I guess give us the backdrop of the behind-the-scenes things that nobody knows.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, Charles is one of those people who have pretty much free reign to talk about whatever he wants to. I mean, he's earned that from TNT and Turner Sports. But also at the same time, you're talking about a sensitive topic that really is playing out in real time with Jesse Smollett and his arrest the other day in Chicago for allegedly, and then we say allegedly, for allegedly faking an attack, a racial, a hate crime on himself. And it's interesting because Charles was really getting into it, and it, as you mentioned, he was ramping up. But it, it's funny how that TNT just decided to cut it off and go to break. Maybe that there was the fact that the producer said, look, we got to go to break right now, just cut it off. Or maybe that they were getting a little bit sensitive and saying, look, Charles, you're maybe crossing a line here. But either way, it just kind of looked like it was just... They just cut the block a little quickly on that one, but still, I don't think there's going to be any ramifications towards Charles for the topic that he brought up, because he's Charles Barkley, and you know Turner's not going to say anything about that. So I just think there was one of those things that they had to go to a heartbreak, and that's where they went.
What about the Rick Barnes comment about the referee? I think it was Teddy Valentine. How did that get caught on air and they didn't turn off the mics, man? So somebody should get fined or penalized or something, right?
Well, it's interesting because they were having technical difficulties at that time, and for a while there was just a hot mic. So they caught Teddy. I mean, let's face it, Teddy Valentine seems to referee every single conference in college basketball. I think he has a contract with even D3 conferences to referee there. But yeah, it's funny. Rick is still a little bit angry about that time he got ejected from the NCAA tournament. It's rare to see that, but it happens. But again, you're always told to be careful about a hot mic. You guys know about it. I used to be in radio. You always get told, always be aware and just be careful about the mic, because the mics are always on. But I guess Rick got a little bit too comfortable in that situation and talked about Teddy in that time. But still, ESPN's got to know, and all the tonnage that they're going to have, they're going to have technical difficulties. But at the same time, analysts it's going to be drummed home a little bit more that mic is always on.
What do you think of the AAF, Ken?
It's 2 weeks in. The ratings are pretty good, but according to the reports that we've had, is that they're having money problems. That's not good for a league that wants to be a feeding or the minor leagues to the NFL and wants to be associated with the NFL. And the fact that the Florida team has to move to Georgia to play half their games there or have half their practices there due to tax purposes. Now, Steve Spurrier likes to play golf. I don't think he wants to do all this work at the meantime, having all the situation, but still. It is what it is. It's not the NFL. You're not going to see a high level of professional football. You're going to see players you may have heard before on the college level and maybe on the NFL level as well. But still, it's still going to have to shake out, and whether it's going to be able to survive its first year, just like the XFL did, only survived 1 year. That's going to be interesting to see, because right now it's pretty shaky.
What aren't we seeing in the Adnan Virk story? What's the other side to it?
He's hiring a lawyer. So that's good. For those who don't know, Adnan Virk was fired by ESPN for allegedly leaking stuff out to the media. But I find it very interesting because even at this point, people are leaking stuff to the media from ESPN. So I don't know what exactly his egregious error was, whether it was leaking stuff to us at Awful Announcing or whether it was something else. This whole thing's going to be shaking out. He's going to get a lawyer. Right now he can't work because he's still under contract with ESPN, and we're shaking out some of those details. But some more interesting news is going to be coming out of that, whether it was a personality clash over there or whether there was some other piece of news that apparently that he leaked out. But I'm not sure exactly what the whole situation was. That's between some of our other people who worked with ESPN. Like, he didn't leak stuff to me. I don't really know him that well. But I have a feeling that some more explosive details will be coming out soon.
And what do you think of the Red Sox, quote-unquote, all-star announcing team?
Well, I live up here, so it's going to be quite interesting. They had two people work last season, which was Joe Castiglione and Tim Neverett. Neverett decided to leave because allegedly the flagship station, WEEI, wanted to do a quote-unquote talk show format during the baseball games. That doesn't necessarily mean they wanted to take calls, but I guess debate. They're going to have Chris Berman. They're also going to have Sean McDonough. They're also going to have a few more people in there as well. Not all at the same time, luckily. That would be a really crowded booth if they decide to have all seven people that they have listed in their announcing crew. But, you know, Chris Berman really can't call a game to save his life, to be honest with you. If you've ever heard him call a game on the radio, you're very lucky, because you would need the television to check what he said. He's only going to call three games, so those three games, luckily, hopefully there'll be high ratings on NESN, which is their TV network. But overall, it's something that their flagship station is trying to do to be more conversational. I have to feel for Joe Castiglione, because he's going to have seven different people he has to work with over the season, rather instead of, and usually on the radio, you like to have two people making a discussion and talking with each other. I don't know exactly what WEEI, the flagship station, is trying to do over there, but then again, a lot of us who live in this area have tried to figure them out and still can't do it after 20 years of them being on the radio.
Ken Fang, thank you so much for the time this morning. Good stuff.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon.
All right. From awfulannouncing.com, Ken joining us to talk sports media. 9:29 the time here in the wake-up zone. The top moves for the Titans this offseason. One analyst has his five. We'll explain in just a moment. This is the wake-up zone on 104.5 The Zone.